Well, hello friends, Kyle here. Welcome to a special episode of A Pastor and a Philosopher Walk Into a Bar. You'll notice this is not our normal release time, and the reason for that is we're doing a special release, a little bit of bonus content for you, and it all centers around one of our favorite things in the world, bourbon. So we've made some friends of the show, including one of our very own Patreon supporters, a guy named TJ who sent us some pretty great bourbon to taste a few episodes back, and he has access to such good bourbon because he and a couple other guys run a YouTube channel called Power of Bourbon. And recently they hosted us for an impromptu blind tasting. They sent us three samples of bourbon and we sent them three samples, and we all got together for a live stream on their YouTube channel and tried to guess what we were tasting. And boy, let me tell you, it was a good time and some really delicious stuff. And along the way, we also had occasion to say a little bit about our podcast and introduce their audience to what we do here. And now we're doing the same for them. So if you're a bourbon lover, if you really geek out on whiskey, then this is one for you. Quick note about the production quality. This was a YouTube live stream, so it's not up to our usual standards. We were all video conferencing from different locations. A couple of us had some internet issues, but we've done our best to make it as listenable as possible for those of you who really want to geek out with us about the bourbon. One more warning before we get started. Everything we tasted here was very delicious and very expensive. So if you're the kind of person who succumbs easily to peer pressure and you're going to want to rush out and buy all these things, fair warning, you may be disappointed when you search for them and can't find them because a lot of these bottles are allocated and rather difficult to find. Sorry, not sorry. So we hope you enjoy this free extra. Check out the Power of Bourbon channel on YouTube. Subscribe and support their Patreon if you can. And we'll see you in about a week with our next regularly scheduled episode.
There may not be a right answer in philosophy, Kyle, but there's a right answer. Which bourbon is the best?
So tonight we are going to have a great time. We've got three guys that run another podcast. I've been really excited for this night because, you know, occasionally we get to talk about things that matter to us besides just the bourbon. And this is one of those nights. And so our three guests tonight run a podcast called Pastor and a Philosopher Walk Into a Bar. And I don't know how you couldn't enjoy that right there. So one of the cool things they do, and we'll get into their podcast when they're all here, which is they start out with tasting bourbon or other spirits, which is just really, really cool. So we will bring them in, which they are Kyle the Philosopher, Randy the Pastor, and Elliot, their producer, which I'm super jealous of because we don't have a producer. It's me. So, hello, guys.
Yeah, he makes us sound so much more talented than we are.
I feel like TJ has the opposite effect on me with all his editing.
It's the good of the channel. I feel like it helps us out.
So Randy is joining us from like the backwoods of Wisconsin, and his internet might be a little slower than ours. So if there's a delay, it's not because he's slow, it's because his internet is slow.
Well, there we go. So we got Randy, who is our Chuck, because Chuck's already been kicked off because of his slow internet in the middle of nowhere, Illinois. So we're good. This is great. So what we did is I sent them three blind samples, and the good news is for you guys, if you enter, so all Patreon members automatically got entered in, one of the advantages to be a Patreon, but if you guys do a $5 super chat or a $10 super chat, you guys are going to be entered to win this flight, and the good news is I'm only going to tell you along the way what it is, and these guys get to tell you if it's worth your money or not, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you can totally trust my opinion because the last time they sent me something really good and top shelf to drink, I thought it was bottom shelf. So,
so go with the opposite of whatever.
Yeah, whatever I say, don't. Yeah, do the opposite.
There you go. So we will start with the first bottle that I sent here for you guys. So cheers. And why don't you guys kind of like introduce your podcast a little bit?
Randy, do you want to try that?
So Kyle, I'm a pastor, and Kyle has been part of our church for a while, and he's a philosopher, obviously. We did Q&As at our church. Instead of a sermon time every once in a while, we would host a Q&A where anybody could text in a question, and Kyle would kind of moderate and facilitate that time. I'd answer best I could, and then Kyle would bring his philosophical perspective in, and people loved it. They would prefer Q&As every Sunday over sermons, I think, but enough people put pressure on us to start a podcast that we finally did and got this name, A Pastor and a Philosopher Walk Into a Bar, and try to figure out what would differentiate us, because there's a million podcasts a lot like us talking about spirituality in some fun ways, but nobody does it while drinking bourbon. And so we figured, let's do a tasting in every episode. Some people don't like it. We love it. And guys like you, TJ, send us bourbon every once in a while. It's incredible.
I mean, we run a bourbon channel and we still get really excited when people send us bourbon. So like,
it's the only reason I'm here.
Yeah. Basically, Brian's got like 60 vials in his background of people that just send stuff. And he's just like, yep, I don't need a bourbon collection. I have a vial collection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most people like kind of have build their friend network based on like social connection, intellectual stimulation, you know, a variety of things. For me, it's much more of like a mooch level. To what degree do I feel like I can successfully mooch off you? And I just move in that direction. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're going to design a good life, like it style. Seems like it would involve having some sort of a like online presence where people send you things.
Yeah.
It's just common sense.
Yeah, man. We got a buddy that owns like a restaurant chain and just really nice guy, goes to the church and offered to throw us some booze every now and then. And this is pretty early on. And I was like, man, we've already arrived. If nothing else comes of this, this is good enough right here.
Yeah. Like I was telling you a little bit before we went live. So Barrel Craft Spirits has started sending us full bottles in the mail. And I was just like, yep, we've done it. I don't care if anything else happens. Like, this is great because it was the line that Chuck always bought. So now I just get to be like, hey, I got a free bottle.
Awesome.
All right. So what
are
we thinking?
This is super hot. I'm going to guess this is barrel proof or close to it.
It starts sweet though.
Yeah, I get a lot of like oak and char on the nose and the palate and the finish.
Mm-hmm. Oak and char and like bourbon cherries.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a little bit of cherry on that nose.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this, just because I get to be mean to Chuck and Brian, because they also don't know what I sent. They have never tried this sample yet.
Ooh. So, and I almost feel like there's just hints of vanilla on the back end of that nose that are really nice too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to guess this is high rye and probably be wrong, but I get a lot of that spice in the back end.
Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. It's like a minty. That. It's a minty spice, though. It's a cool spice. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm really curious.
I like the nose.
Yeah, so what are we supposed to guess about these?
I mean, if you want to be like what we normally do, you could, what is it, Brian? We usually do like proof, age, distillery.
Yeah.
The three we go with. Mm.
Well, and then type.
I'm not good enough to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's
bourbon, true. Finished, or rye.
I'm going to say this is 50-some percent, low 50s.
Okay.
I'm going to guess it's high rye. I have no idea where it's from.
All right. Brian?
I'm still thinking.
Chuck, while I have you for 3 minutes.
Might be seconds. I'm having major malfunctions here. It just keeps crashing, so.
All the new
what was the question?
Starlink. What do you think it is?
Type, age, proof, distillery.
I'm getting some young wood notes, so I don't know if that's young in grain or just like more of a toasted finish.
Interesting.
So I think I'm going younger. I think I'm going 4 years max.
I had the same thought, and last time I said that I was proved wrong. And also, it's fairly dark, and so I don't know. I would believe a toasted finish though.
All right. Any ideas, Elliot?
Toasted, young, hot bourbon.
I like it.
I think. And if it's something you haven't all sampled, like I don't think it's in the rare category. I think it's kind of just like in the out there newer. It's from Texas or something.
Hmm. It's in the rare category.
Oh, ooh.
So I will say that all three of these are allocated and hard to get.
Mm. Okay.
So are we naming price points here?
I can, like, it's, I spend a lot of money on bourbon and I'm okay with that.
So I'm thinking this is finished actually.
Okay.
And I'm going 108 proof.
Okay.
And distillery on this. Come on. I have no idea. Got nothing.
Yeah, well, no. So this is a good one. So this, it goes for $50 a bottle, but it is only in 375s, only at the distillery.
So actually $100 a bottle.
Yeah, so $100 a bottle. Mm. It is the fourth version of this series, and I do believe it will be the last, which is...
Oh no!
It is Old Forester 117 series, so that's the distillery own, and it is the Whiskey Row Fire Edition. So to celebrate the firefighters that saved Whiskey Row in downtown Louisville, they bottled these small bottles for them.
Does it give details on the makeup of this?
No. Just
so
bottles.
Old Forester is typically... I was looking up a bunch of mash bills recently, so I think it's typically around like 18% rye, something like that.
Yeah, they usually...
Not super high. Yeah.
This nose, like, I mean, I love my old folk, but this nose is not...
No, it's not at all.
Say again, what was the proof on that?
50. So it's 100 proof.
Okay.
Okay, I was close.
Yep. Yep. And no age statement, though?
No, so, and if... because we're way too obsessed with them. Old Foe, what they do is they have climate-controlled rick houses. So that's their one of their big sticks is they think because they climate control, they can get younger whiskey to taste like older whiskey. And Brian is a huge fan of that, which is funny that he didn't know it was Old Foe.
Is that sarcasm or is he actually a huge fan?
No, he is. Brian is a big Old Foe fan.
Oh, I'm a huge Old Foe fan. But there's no banana on that nose at all. I typically don't get that much oak and char on the Old Foe outside of the 1910. So, and with this 117, this is the last of the Jackie selections, correct, then?
Yes. So that's why I don't know if they will continue it on, because Jackie left to do Hidden Barn. And the big thing about 117 is that is the first time ever a female, she wasn't a master distiller, master taster, or a female signature was on an Old Forester bottle, which makes it special.
Wow.
I was still calling it Old Forester instead of Old Foe, so that's how much I don't belong here.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't up on that lingo either. No.
Sure, you guys got lingo that we don't understand.
Yeah, so, I thought this was good, but like if it was between this and 1920, I would take 1920, and I feel a little bad saying that.
I mean, what about 1910? Because I feel like that's probably better than 1920. Just throwing that out there for debate.
That is.
Disagree. That is,
yeah, that's the fight.
Fight Kyle?
Mom and dad here is 1910 versus 1920.
Yeah. a buddy of ours is making a 1915. Have you guys heard about this?
That's in that decanter right there.
Oh, okay. All right. So this is a thing you're familiar with.
I think the barrel was too small and it sat too long. We were pouring it the other day. It looks like coffee.
Oh. That's too bad. Shall we move to the next thing, or are we waiting for Chuck to give any kind of input? Oh, no.
We got no chance on Chuck.
We will all feel better about our input if he's not here.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be on the phone with Elon trying to figure out what's going on. Get new satellites put over his house. We'll go with it.
Yeah.
All right. So Ed just asked, and I'm guessing he came a little late. So Ed, they do a pastor and a philosopher walk into a bar. Which we should probably talk about a little bit more. But so kind of what you guys were talking about, how it started at the church and you guys had the Q&A session. That sounds very, very familiar to the church I go to, which these guys know that HL is my pastor at my church. And he does very similar things where occasionally he'll just bring atheists on stage with him and they will have a discussion about pros and cons right in front of everybody at church, which I'm kind of with you, Randy, with what your members said, which is I find that stuff very interesting to recognize that there are other views out there and that they're not just idiots for their views, that they have valid concerns and beliefs, and that we can meet in the middle and have conversations, which really is what drew me to your guys' podcast so much.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, H and I go way back. In some ways, he's distantly responsible for the podcast because he's the person that got me thinking about stuff like that. I was always kind of inclined in that direction, but he was a sounding board for a long time. And so, yeah, it was really cool to hear that somebody from his church was listening and appreciating what we were doing.
So this all started like COVID because we couldn't ever hang out or anything like that. And, you know, we're those super manly men, so we're not going to call each other and be like, hey, let's talk feelings. So we're like, hey, let's send bourbon and drink, because we can talk about bourbon and then, you know, feelings will just naturally happen. And that's where this started.
I'm not sure that's actually happened yet.
Probably not. We just talked about the bourbon.
Yeah. We had a similar idea. Add bourbon and good ideas will eventually happen, I think.
So
much feeling.
And actually, when we first started way back in the day, there's no channel or anything, and we were just doing it as friends, and we started doing the bourbon, and then we would trade off actually sending local beer as well, because we're like, this bourbon stuff's expensive, like we can't keep up with that, surely. Well, hundreds of bottles later, apparently we can.
Yeah. Well, I still remember that first flight I sent you guys was 30 bourbons. And at the time, the Pappy 15 was in there. And I still remember Chuck, who at the time thought Basil Hayden was the best thing ever, looked at the list and was like, we need to start with the Pappy 15. And I'm like, no, sir. We're going to start here and go down.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to go back and see how our rankings have changed since then on some of this. So.
Which I was looking at your three profiles on the podcast, and I noticed something. So lately, every time you start out the podcast, you do a bourbon tasting or a whiskey tasting. But on your about section, it clearly says Randy only drinks boring pilsners, Kyle only drinks slushy beers, and Elliot plays with rye.
Yeah, that's because when we started, kind of similar to you guys, we started out with beer because it was obtainable, and I just had way too much of it. And we'll still occasionally do some beer if it's really special or interesting. But then we just gravitated toward whiskey, and it was...
Yeah, I find it disappointing whenever somebody shows up with beer. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Do you not like me?
So what do you guys think of this? We're on number one that I sent.
So I get some like rye notes. So there's a little bit of hay, a little bit of grass, which is very interesting. But there's a lot of sweetness to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there, I get a little bit of a doughy, grainy note. So it makes me feel like it might be craft.
What do you mean, craft?
So usually like craft or smaller distilleries are putting out younger product. And so you get a lot more of the grain notes, like the corn. So you get more cornbready notes. You might get some of the doughy notes to it. So there's a little bit of that somewhere through it that it's coming. For me, it's between the palate and the finish is where it kind of like peaks in a little bit. And so that's kind of what we mean when we say like craft notes. Now, some of the big boy distilleries are starting to do like grain forward bourbons. And there's some like Brian likes 80 Laws. And they do grain forward bourbon. So you have to be careful a little bit if it's just trying to be grain forward or if it's truly crafty.
Yeah. Because sometimes it'll come off too strong. The grain will be too strong. The dough will come off too strong. And it'll just be also then, especially on the finish, it'll be ethanol heavy. And I also feel like you get the dough on the back end of the palate. Or sorry, not the palate, sorry, on the nose. I feel like it kind of that dough note lingers.
Yeah, doughiness is not a note I've ever looked for in a bourbon, but I suppose if I focus on it, I can find it there.
Yeah, it kind of has like that if that smell of just like fresh homemade bread, you know.
I can see dough. That.
It's kind of just a mild.
All right, so we got Chuck at least. I'll be the voice of Chuck. I feel super powerful now, which is great. So don't agree that it's crafty. Get a nice balance of oak and dark fruit on the palate.
But he did agree with those rye floral notes. That's front and center. I also get like... almost like maple syrup, like it is really sweet, but it's kind of this it's a complex sweetness.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, am I off? Yeah. This almost tastes a little bit like the High West Double Rye.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Yep.
It reminds me a little bit of Eagle Rare in that it's like simple and not like it doesn't explode on your palate. But I really love, I would, instead of floral, Elliot, I would call it herbal. I love that like herbal on the back of the palate finish to it. But it's very like understated. I like it a lot.
Hmm. Yeah.
What are your guesses about, strength and et cetera?
So I'm going to go like 105, 106 proof. Definitely. I don't know. Like I want to say it's a rye, but I feel like there's too many bourbon notes to say it's a rye. So I'm going to go bourbon, probably 5 to 8 years old, somewhere right around there. And I would say, like, to me, I think it might be a Driftless Glen, like, single barrel pick is what I would probably say.
Other guesses?
I think it's higher proof.
I think it's lower. I would go with, like, a 95 proof, like, under 100, perhaps. And It doesn't taste very oaky, but it doesn't taste young to me at all. So I'll say like 6 years-ish, 5-6 years in a bourbon for sure. Famous last words.
I don't know. I feel like it could be like a mild rye bourbon drinker's rye, just based on the finish. And then also just the notes on the front could be that. It's probably right around 100 proof, 46 years in that room. I mean, I was actually just trying to look up a High West Double Rye tasting notes real fast to see how close that is, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chuck said, not much rye, Brian. You're wrong. Please be quiet. If it's a rye, it's a Kentucky rye, only 51%, not MGP, 100 proof, 6 years. Okay.
He's right, probably.
He probably is.
I do think it's a rye. I think it's young, but I think it's over. I think it's a bit over 100 proof.
All right.
All right. Are you ready for the reveal?
Randy's shaking his head, but he knows he can't talk because there's too much more lag.
Well, I will say this in fairness to Chuck. The old High West Double Ryes, weren't those sourced from MGP?
Yes.
Just saying.
So I tried to throw you a curveball on this one. In fact, everything I sent you, I tried to mix it up in terms of mash bill. So this is Bardstown Bourbon Company Discovery Series number 6. So it's a mix, and that's why it tasted like a lot of different things. So this is 68% 11-year-old Kentucky bourbon, 16% 17-year-old Tennessee bourbon, and 16% 7-year-old Indiana bourbon. I'm guessing MGP there. All different mash bills. The highest rye content is the MGP, which would be 21%.
So before you guys got on, I told Chuck, I was like, there's going to be a Bardstown in this flight, because I just listened to your guys' podcast where you were talking about how you're making old fashions with the Discovery. I was like, it's going to be in here. There we go.
And I'm almost through the bottle now, so I feel pretty good about that. Nice. Yeah. So this comes in around, what is it, retail? $130, something like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit more if you're at a fancy
Chuck liquor. Has every single bottle from them except the Fusion Series. That's my job because it's in my price range.
Well, and didn't they just continue that?
Yeah, there's only two more of the Fusion Series. So my wife asked a good question, and it'd be good for you guys. So have you, any of you guys been to a distillery or done any distillery tours? And if so, which ones? Like, what, I guess the good question is, like, what is your go-to distillery as we go to number two of ours?
Yeah, while you're pouring, I'll give my answer and then pass it off. So I grew up in Kentucky, so I've been around distilleries for a while. I got married at Buffalo Trace in their Elmer T. Lee clubhouse. I'm using my Buffalo Trace Glencairn at the moment. So they're my fave. If I had to pick a favorite bourbon, it would be Elmer T. Lee, probably. Obtainable bourbon, although that's not obtainable anymore. I've done a few tours. Honestly, probably Buffalo Trace has been my favorite bourbon tour. Okay. I did some Scotch tours that were cooler, but that's probably because I was in Scotland and everything seems cooler when you're overseas. That was a few years back, but that'd probably be my fave.
Okay.
Yeah, I officiated Kyle's wedding, so I've been to Buffalo Trace and done the brief tour after officiating his wedding. While a Packer playoff game was also playing, it was very conflicted. But I was just a week ago at Bell Mead, the Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery in Nashville. And that was a fun experience. That was a good time. Although I totally think they were BSing. Like, I would have to talk for a longer time, but they basically, like, the distillery went away with Prohibition. And then all of a sudden, these two great grandsons of the master distiller, Nelson's Greenbrier, just stumbled upon the old distillery and discovered that this was their grandpa's. And I was like, yeah, no way that the family didn't know that I was in the family. But it was a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
More importantly, did you bring me anything back?
I didn't bring anything back, Kyle.
You know, I think that might be part of their story, because they're trying to go away from the Bellamy brand and bring in the Nelson brand.
Yeah.
Which is a tragedy among tragedies.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm younger in all this. I've only been to Buffalo Trace, which is great, but I would say I consistently enjoy all things Willett, and so that would be one that I would like to spend more time at.
I bet you would enjoy the Willett Distillery. It's super fancy and pretentious, kind of like you.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
No, I mean, then he needs to be just like Chuck and go to Bardstown, because they say they are the Napa experience of Bardstown, Kentucky.
So, Elliot, if you remember, I texted you from Bardstown a picture of their allocated or their, like, rare whiskey list, and 1 ounce pours were $1,400 and all that stuff.
So I don't know if it's supposed to be public knowledge or not, but like within just the podcast crew among us, we've talked about, because we're a faith-based podcast, doing a Holy Land tour.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, would be to Kentucky for all the distilleries.
Yep.
Well, I mean, and then if you did that, you'd have to do like a pick, and then you could have the Holy Picks.
Yes. Yes.
Are we on the second power of bourbon?
Yes.
Yeah, which I love. This is right in my wheelhouse.
You liked it better than the first one?
Mm-hmm. Significantly. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because it's not as strong. I would put this around maybe 45% max. And I tend towards higher proof.
So the nose, for me, is a little bit weaker. There's not as many like notes that are just sticking out. But then when you get to the palate and the finish, it is so much more depth, tobacco, chocolatey notes, all that wonderful stuff.
I was going to say in the comments, I love that Heather referred to Buffalo Trace as a compound, because I just always have like religious cult.
It's like a cult
indoctrination. Yeah. Like, and I feel like that's exactly what Buffalo Trace does, is they like indoctrinate you into their Buffalo Trace products and then make, you know, jack up the price. So,
yeah.
Well, you guys don't get to see it because you're not like in the area, but now, so they open the gift shop, I think at 10, but usually by 8:20, there's a line. They don't open the gates until 8:30, and there's a backup line up the road just waiting to be in, and everybody's hoping for the Blanton's Day. It's just crazy.
So this is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it.
40%?
I'm going to say 45.
Okay.
Cloves?
I'm guessing 107 or more. A lot of sweet oak, cherry. Reminds me of a Buffalo Trace product.
I can see that.
It's a little sweeter than most Buffalo Trace products I've had. At least at this proof.
All right. Well,
I have no guesses, though, as to what it is.
Yeah. I would be impressed if anyone picked this one out. So this, which the Eds in chat are going to be really happy, is Hardin's Creek.
Ooh.
This is a limited release from Jim Beam this year. I'm in their subscription service, so they just mail me bourbon, which is the most amazing thing ever. And so this is 184 months age, so it's a blend of a 15-year-old and 16-year-old bourbon at 108 proof. So this is one of those everybody's looking really hard, comes in a really cool tube, all that fun stuff.
Wow. That's
delicious.
Super
that's
easy
one of my best of the year.
That's right fun. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, oh, not a problem.
I would never have guessed it was 108.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have guessed 15 year?
No, but I'm not surprised having heard it.
It tastes old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was guessing 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is definitely really, really delightful. And it's really, really sad that it is really, really low.
I'm guessing that's another 3-digit bottle.
150. Yeah.
Yep. We're just kind of inching up here. See how long we can keep it going.
There's a theme.
So we'll go on to your guys' second sample, but Chuck, Brian, you guys got any questions?
Yeah, so I was thinking, so Randy and Kyle, you guys said you like Q&A style stuff. So I was just wondering, like, what type of question or, like, line of questioning do you get that, like you're most intrigued by, like you enjoy talking about when people raise religious or ethical style questions? Is there, like, a certain area that you're just like, oh, I'm excited about this? I like when people engage in this line of dialogue or thinking.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I tend to love it when the question is genuine, regardless of what it's about. And a lot of people, I think most of our listener base at this point, have latched onto what we're doing because they're in a deconstruction phase. They've run into something in their life, whether it's personal or intellectual or whatever, family, emotional, and it's put a wrench in what they thought God was like and what they thought the world was like. And, or, you know, something happened in the church more broadly and they just couldn't stomach it anymore. And so they're looking for people to tell them the truth. And we try to do that. We try to be honest about stuff, even if it's hard. And even if the answer is, I don't understand this, like, I've tried as hard as I can to understand it and I don't. And I'm just going to tell you the facts about that. So I appreciate it when somebody's coming from a place of integrity and honesty and humility. The questions we tend to get revolve around hot button issues, as you might expect. So a lot of people wonder about LGBTQ stuff. A lot of people wonder about injustice of various kinds in the church, hypocrisy, abuse, that sort of stuff. So these are all issues we've talked about extensively on the show, but also stuff like, you know, evolution or what should I think about the end times or the afterlife, or, I mean, you name it, we've probably covered it. What the hell is the Bible? what am I supposed to do with it? Yeah. So that's my answer. Randy, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, sorry, I didn't start talking 5 seconds before, so it's a little late, but questions about the Bible are fun for me, because people have questions, a lot of questions about the Bible. It's a complex, crazy library of ancient books that it should be complicated and it should be difficult. And so we get, I think, a lot of good questions about the Bible, about violence in the Old Testament, about, you know, inconsistencies and infallibility and inerrancy and all these churchy words that people were told all of their faith in Christianity hinges on. And we like to just ask the question, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't hinge on those hot button or those gotcha gatekeepers kind of categories? So I really enjoyed that. And yeah, and I enjoy that we get to be a voice to people who are kind of on the edge of the church. They've been in the church for a long time. I've seen some garbage, but still love Jesus. And those are the kind of people that I like to hang out with and talk with and hold space with. So, and we don't, there's not a whole lot of softball questions. They're all real. They get to the real stuff. And those are the fun ones. I mean, we're not interested in, you know, softballs and boring ourselves, you know, talking just to hear ourselves talk. So I enjoy our listeners' feedback, and I enjoy our church's feedback. Like, we earn questions. We get a lot of really fun, serious questions. So it's a good time.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for asking. We recently had Brian McLaren on the show. He's kind of become of something of a friend of the podcast, and he just wrote a book called Do I Stay Christian? And so we tackle, like, head on, is this even worth doing anymore? And all the reasons it might not be.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It helps that Kyle's a heretic in the eyes of many people. Yeah. So he makes me look really good in Orthodox.
Well, as somebody who doesn't do the main talking on the podcast but has to listen to it a lot, the thing that keeps me coming back is it feels like it's not so much about getting to the right answer of the question. It's the frameworks in which we're answering the questions and this recurring theme of epistemic humility, like how we even hold concepts of knowability and how we kind of step outside and try to really objectively recognize that we're coming at this with a perspective that's different than the perspective of other people, and that's just as valid. Like, those things have helped me a lot in faith, actually, in the absence of having a lot of the answers.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys approach the whole podcast very similar to the way I approach my classroom when I teach, which is I never tell, like, really my opinion on the topic. I just give everyone all the information, and then you do with it what you will and draw your own conclusions. And then if you have questions along the way, I'm there to help, which I really appreciate, because you're like, you guys could very easily just stand on that and be like, okay, so ask my questions. Well, this is what I believe and this is what you should believe, but you don't ever do that. You're just like, here's all the information, do your own research, because then it actually means something to you.
Yeah. We're about to just blow that out of the water with an upcoming episode where we come down real hard against something. So curious what you think about that.
Okay.
Teaser.
I like it.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of this? I feel like I'm enjoying each one a little more than the last. I don't know if it's because I'm just getting drunker, but I really love this. I had not had it before I sent it to you. So this is my first taste of my own bottle, and it's awesome.
Hot. It is very hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Stark contrast. It's like green apple on the nose. It's bright, and everything else has been, it's really dark zone.
A lot of cinnamon. Like,
I was going to say, I love everything about
cinnamon
this.
Finish is powerful. Yeah. Brian, this is right in his wheelhouse.
I love everything about this.
I mean, yeah, if I had to pick something right off the bat, it reminds me of some Old Forester barrel strength single barrels, because they start out very wonderful on the nose and then just crazy hot.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy hot. No, warmth. Comfy warmth. It's like
warmth is a better word for this.
It just wraps your tongue in a
cinnamon habanero blanket pepper.
And,
mm-hmm.
and plenty of
I don't
oak.
Get it. Like, hardly any burns on this too.
Right way. Yeah. Yeah. Splendid.
I'll say, knowing what it is, I was shocked at how sweet it is. I didn't expect that.
I mean, it's another one. It's very delightful. Totally buy it.
This is one, because of that lingering, like, it's a lingering cinnamon mostly to me, but I even get maybe a little bit of, like, cocoa chocolate that kind of lingers. It's pretty powerful. You're not going to have several of these within a night. It's going to be one and done.
Speak for yourself.
Any guesses as to what it might be?
I can, especially with that punch, maybe even almost like a Elijah Craig barrel proof.
Oh, it could be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that guess.
I have a hunch, but I'm not going to say it because I think I know what Kyle has been purchasing lately. So I'm just going to say it's delicious. It's hot cinnamon. Got some like, actual brightness to it, but it lays thick on the palate. Like it's got a great mouthfeel. Really nice and rich mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go ahead and give your hunch? Because I suspect it's not what you think.
Yeah, the viscosity on it is very nice. Oh,
I think it is Elijah Craig barrel proof.
Other guesses before the reveal?
The only reason I'm going to say it's not Elijah Craig barrel proof is you said that you haven't drank it. I know you guys did the reveal of it on the podcast.
He did his own work.
So maybe an Elijah Craig single barrel? Barrel proof?
That's the same thing. Boy, other things I have that I don't think it has enough cherry to be a like a stag junior.
No.
Yeah.
I would say the only other thing I could go with is a Driftless Glenigan because it has some of those.
This is older than 6 years.
Okay. I like you're going there.
Well, I mean, it could 1792 full proof. I get a little bit of this like.
That's a good guess.
I get a little bit of that like candy floral note that sometimes you get off either aged Barton or Four Roses single barrels.
Yeah, my first thought on that is I feel like I don't get enough floral for the 1792, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Shall we reveal? Elliot, you got any thoughts?
Yeah.
No, kind of like Randy from before. I know exactly what it is, but I'm not going to say.
I think I've named every bourbon in Kentucky, so.
All right. Well, Chuck came the closest. So this is a Four Roses.
Oh, wow.
Single barrel. I'm trying to hold it in front of the camera there.
Barrel strength.
Barrel strength. Mm-hmm. So this is the OESV mash bill, which Chuck could probably tell us more about, or one of you could tell us more about than I could. Oh, yeah. I think it's about 20% rye, something like that that one. But that particular mash bill, the notes they say are delicate fruit and caramel. So this is 60.6%.
That's delicious.
I was about to say, maybe it's Four Roses. I was like, I didn't get enough floral notes for it to be Four Roses.
Literally, nosing that I went back to it, I got a little bit of that, what reminds me of either 1792 or Four Roses. But that was it. Other than that, like, it's just this aged, it's more fruit to me than what normally the Four Roses just gives you more of that floral component.
Yeah.
And this was very muted with the oak and the dark fruits, which to me is... would be my preference
for
Four Roses. So this is excellent. So thanks for sharing, Kyle.
Yeah.
How much is that bottle?
This is from a place near me. I want to say it retailed for around 100, but it's got a secondary value closer to twice that. So
yeah, it should be 80 to 90, 100 around there. And then, depending on the recipe, drives the price, the tier drives the price. And you said that was OESV, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you find one of those for 80 to 100, it's be happy you found it.
Yeah. Chuck is like, here, let me grab my 7 I have on the shelf.
So, somehow he's in Four Roses barrel proof mecca. It's all drop around him.
Well, this was I have an OESV from Bourbon Pursuit, actually, which that might be one of my favorite recipes. So
that was my favorite one so far.
Yeah. I really liked them a little better each time.
Yeah.
High hopes for this third one for you guys.
I hope so.
I mean, this third one's actually a bottle I have, so you might want to temper your expectations.
To be fair, this third one is the only one I refused to send these guys samples, so I made them pour their own bottles, and I was like, you're just going to deal with it.
Nice. Not sure how to interpret that, because you didn't want to pour it, but also all of you have bottles of it, so...
I mean, you sent me the Harden's Creek, TJ, and I have a bottle of that. So,
wait, you have the Harden's? I didn't know you got the Harden's Creek.
You didn't know.
you did otherwise. Not tell me, sir. We are going to have a conversation after everybody gets off.
TJ, I think you should have him send me an extra bottle just as a punishment.
Smells like a cinnamon roll.
You really have to dig in there to get the nose, though.
Yeah.
Full nose in the glass at this point.
More light or orchard fruit, so I get more of the like a green apple on this.
So just to be, you know, completely mean, like make you use multiple parts of your brain as you're trying to figure out what this is. So what is your guys's kind of like end goal with the podcast? Like what like for us, you know, we joke, but like getting sent samples of bourbon is like, we feel like we've kind of made it a little bit. So like for you guys, what does that look like? What do you hope to achieve?
Like increasing our listenership to the point where we are seen as kind of go-to people in the progressive Christian arena, I would say. And I mean, like Kyle is writing a book. It'd be great if we could get that published and like everyone read it. Who knows if I want to write a book, like speaking would be really fun to be able to go places and talk about this stuff, whether it's together or separately. There's a number of different ways that could play out, but holding space for conversations that matter to people about spirituality, faith, and philosophy, really, like that's almost an end game of itself for me. I've just really enjoyed that, being able to sit in that space.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had listeners write in and tell us that, you know, our series on LGBTQ people in church, like helped them figure out how to talk to their gay kids, you know, and stuff like that. It's like, that's good enough. It doesn't go any further than that. I'm happy. So yeah, I've got a book in the works that I'd really like to find a publisher for. And if that happens, I'll feel like I succeeded, but we'll see.
Well, when that finally happens, because it will, we'll have to do this again and we'll talk about your book. I can't promise if it's over 50 pages, I'll be able to read it all.
Over 50 pages. Apologies.
If you make it an audio book, I will listen.
Yeah. I'm always in awe because you guys are like, yeah, so we're having this new person on the channel. Yeah, I read like two books and I'm like, I read one book this year and I'm proud of myself for that.
I was going to say it was reading a book to your daughter who happens
a coffee table book.
Three.
Yeah. Hey, pictures of bourbon.
There's a reason I'm getting my daughter into comic books, and just back off.
So anyway, what Kyle and Randy, with what you guys were just talking about, just kind of made me think, so what do you guys feel like are like maybe some of the biggest like misconceptions that people have or are struggling with that you guys feel like if we could get people on this page or understanding something this way, that would be that would move the needle significantly? You know, maybe the dangerous misconceptions that people have.
That they know anything about God. is that too much for your show? Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe explain what you mean by that. I don't know.
Well, I think it's
overconfidence, I think, is the major obstacle to a healthy faith, in my view. And so that tends to come in the intellectual arena and the moral arena. So I think I know what God is like and wants. And I think I know what that implies for how people should live their lives. And I'm justified in structuring society such that they have to accord with that in some way. So, yeah, and that can be about anything. It can be overconfidence about what the Bible is and how it should be read. It can be overconfidence about who belongs in the church and who should be excluded from it. Or, you know, who should be welcomed in but not given any actual power. Yeah. Randy, you want to add to that? You can make that more specific and palatable.
Yeah, I think what we see by and large in the church today, in the American Protestant and particularly evangelical church, is that we are prisoners of the moment. We think that the way we think about God, the way we think about spirituality, the way we think about the world, and particularly the way we think about the Bible, is the only way to think about it and the only way Christians have thought about it. And that's just very, very unhealthy perspective to have. People have been having fascinating conversations about the scriptures, about the nature of Christ, about the origins of the universe for a long, long time. And just in these last, you know, 70, 80 years of American evangelicalism, have we kind of reduced everything down to these little bits of doctrine and of gotcha questions and just conversations that I'm not interested in and conversations that weren't relevant in the church, you know, up until the last century. So I think that's something that we try to get at, is that there's an older conversation happening that's much more exciting than what we've been having in our Sunday school and, you know, youth groups.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, I don't know if that actually answered your question. Sorry. I'm four whiskeys in at this point. So
I find that's when you get the best answers from people.
This is wonderful. I would say I like it as well as the Four Roses, which is a compliment.
I like this much better than the Four Roses.
It's like the most pleasantly grown-up version of like Green Apple Laffy Taffy, I can imagine.
Never really gotten that, but I appreciate it.
Just look for the Laffy Taffy. It's in there.
I would say power of suggestion. I will totally get it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Well, I will, Elliot, I will use this double pour that I poured myself to explore that exact situation.
My palate feels blasted right now. I don't know how you guys can do this. Do you do this weekly, or how often do you do this?
Weekly, except, you know, Chuck works for the CIA, so occasionally he's out of country. But yeah, so we'll get on. We'll do, usually it's like a review, so we'll do like three reviews and record it. Unfortunately, occasionally we do like side by sides, and we'll do like three of those, and then it gets rough the next day.
Yeah, I feel like you should put the not as good ones in the beginning to like get your palate used to it. But don't put the best ones at the end, because my palate is almost gone by now. And I know that this is the best one of the night so far.
Yeah, Brian, let's have a conversation about that. Who puts the really bad ones first?
What do y'all drink when you're not drinking bourbon? Like, not beer, but like spirits. When it's not brown, what is it?
Oh, gosh.
You guys can't see it, but I have a wine cellar just off to my right that has about 400 bottles. So I enjoy red wine.
Yeah. That's what I've done. So the deal with my wife was I could continue my bourbon experience if I would learn to enjoy wine. And I've learned to enjoy wine very well with her, and she's learned to enjoy bourbon, which is good until I see her making an old fashioned with my Four Roses barrel strength, and then I cry.
So what do we think this is? I would normally guess that this was around under 50%, but I think I've drank so much strong bourbon that my palate can't tell the difference anymore. So this very well might be stronger than that. It has everything I love in a bourbon, though. It's got the dark fruits and the sweetness and the strong barrel presence. It tastes well aged. I would guess at least 12 years.
Yeah, no, this is pure delight. I mean, I don't know what more you want in a bourbon. Definitely has age to it. I have no clue what it might be, but this is really, really nice.
Yep. Mine was gone 4 minutes ago, and I remember liking it a lot.
So this is one. So we follow other whiskey tubers, obviously, and everything like that. And so Breaking Bourbon is like very quick to give everyone like 3 out of 5 barrels. And this was
very
the first
conservative.
One. Yeah.
Like they do things on a 1 to 5 barrel rating. If you ever get a 3.5, it's like, oh, that's a good bourbon.
Yeah, and I think this is like their first ever like 4.5. And so we were just like, oh, we got to buy it. And it is, so this is Lux Row Distillery, and it is the 12 years. So Kyle, you hit it right on the mark, double barrel. So what they do is they take 2 12-year-old barrels and they blend it together. It runs you about $150, but it is absolutely delicious. And Lux Row is not one of those super big boys, though MGP just bought them, or they bought MGP. They combined, basically. So it's becoming more popular, but it's a distillery only release for the most part, and it is just absolutely amazing. So,
and available,
yes,
usually, which is the best part. But you're gonna, I think, actually, was it Derek that said he went? And because I think we got ours for $150. Derek said they upped it to 175, maybe.
I was thinking it was already up there when we got ours, but
yeah,
that was 2019, I think.
Is there? There's no mash bill on it, right? Any idea?
No. Uh-uh.
What would you speculate?
And it's sourced, right?
Yeah. So it's sourced. Yeah. I would imagine it's Barton would be my guess, because I guess it'd be Heaven Hill too. So those are the only two guys that give older stuff. But it's 118.4 proof, so it's up there. But no, they are super secret of where they get their stuff.
Well, it's delicious. I don't know if I'd pay that for it, but I'm happy to drink it for free.
Yeah, well, and that was actually one of the discussions, like, because it is at that 175-ish price. I mean, it's delicious, everything you want in a bourbon, but can you stomach that price?
Yeah,
or not?
All right,
last one.
That might be the best nose of the night, to be honest.
I'm getting some, like, wet grass.
Really?
Yeah, hay.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. What are you smelling, TJ?
COVID.
I was going to say,
I remember
peaches.
When I had COVID and my nose would color off for like 3 or 4 months. And then Charlie was finally like, you're back. Because I was just agreeing with him all night.
To be fair, that was when we did our best of for the year, and you chose 1910 as the best bourbon out of 30 bourbons we sent you.
I like my Old Forester. What can I say?
Knows what he likes. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Thank you. Old Forester. And if what I like happens to be cheaper than all the stuff you guys sent, I feel like that's better.
There may not be a right answer in philosophy, Kyle, but there's a right answer in which bourbon is the best.
Oh, that's hilarious. There are so many right answers in philosophy.
And in taste, obviously.
Taste, yeah.
Super subjective.
So this is, I'm getting a lot of hay and some chocolate, weirdly.
I do get a little bit of like green apple in the back on that nose. If you cut through the hay.
It really is. It's like, wow.
It's wild. I'm going with, it's, yep. I don't like it at all. I know it's an expensive bourbon, but I don't like the nose at all. So I better taste it.
Interesting.
What's the herbal note? Is there like dill or rosemary? Like, there's something in that range that I can't quite place.
Just picture the state fair. Oh. I've got like a chocolate elephant ear, and I jump into a pile of manure. That's the nose right there.
No, it's
I don't get the barnyard notes.
Manure. There's the tasting note of the night.
Yep.
But you never know with TJ. He might have used that in a good way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but in a good
way. This might be the youngest of the night.
Could be.
But I'm guessing we've transitioned away from bourbon. So
yeah,
if it's not a young bourbon, it could be like a single malt. I guess I don't know your shelf as well as like Randy would.
I was really hoping they would send a peated one just so I could see you. Like,
this definitely isn't peated, but I could see like a single malt, whether it's an American single malt or a Scotch. I'm not sure, but I don't get the classic Scotch notes, but. I could see that. I could see like tons of green apple on the nose in addition to that hay note.
I'm going Scotch. It's not Irish and it's not bourbon. So I'm going single malt.
Yeah, unpeated.
Yeah, unpeated, definitely.
Any other thoughts?
I think the idea of Scotch is like very, I want to say Scotch because I know you, Kyle, but it doesn't taste like a Scotch to me. If it's the Scotch, it's the most boring Scotch I've had, but I want to say like a wheated whiskey. Like it tastes like very wheat forward to me.
Is that rice whiskey?
Definitely grain forward. Mm-hmm. Is that rice whiskey?
I am still searching for the finish.
Yeah, there's not much of a finish.
Definitely it's got the old proof. Library, old book flavor to it.
I'd probably guess like 85 proof.
So I would say we asked Randy and Kyle a lot of questions. So, Elliot, how did you get involved in producing? Yeah. I mainly asked, how do I find a producer? Because they are really annoying.
It sounds like they started by just offering.
Like on my screen, you just like pointed off to nothingness. Like I'm the other direction.
No,
there you go.
I knew they wanted to do this thing, and I said that like I would help with the pilot, like just like technologically, just I would help to make it happen so they could hear their voices back and see if they liked it or not. And here we are. I believe in the types of conversations that are had.
Yeah.
It's been really helpful and I think formative in my journey as I'm like my background is very fundy. And so trying to come out into the open space, like not so much to deconstruct, but to find that there's actually a lot more space to play. So that's been enjoyable. And yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like I probably wouldn't still be around if it wasn't for the bourbon.
You and me both.
It's like at the very worst, I'm at least going to get to have a great bourbon. So
yeah,
even on a bad night, we drink something good. So I'm going to tell you guys this is a bourbon, and see if that changes your guesses.
Wow.
Bourbon.
Yep.
I do feel like they stay. I can go with that.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like they stay on topic a lot more than Brian. And I'm just gonna say Brian.
All right, you ready for the reveal?
Yep.
I will say, I'll admit this is my least favorite of the night, and I had an idea that it would be, but I threw it in to throw your palates off. So this is a Woodford Reserve Master's Collection.
Oh, okay.
Oat grain.
Oat
grain. This is,
okay. So that's what
the secondary grain is oat. Yeah. Not wheat. So there's no wheat in this. It's 66% corn, 18% oat, only 4% rye, and 12% barley.
All right.
Huh. Yeah, and this is a $100 bottle or something. So there you go.
Wow,
I like it.
Did you That's actually really like
interesting.
It?
I appreciate the what they tried.
Yeah, this reminds me a lot. We just did a review of this year's Little Book from Jim Beam, and it was
it was a lot of things.
It basically was not good at $140. Very grain forward and just not what you especially at that price point.
Yeah,
I think you have a different.
Yeah, the Woodford Masters Collections releases tend to be kind of hit or miss. Some of them are just nailed it, awesome, and then some of them are like, well, you tried a thing.
All right, so let's see who wins tonight.
I'm going to say David. Probably.
David. Yep. All right, David. So thank you so much for helping out. And don't know if Chuck's going to get better internet, but you're going to get a flight of bourbon. So
I like that it looks like he just fell asleep. That's awesome.
So, yeah. So thank you guys so much for doing this. We appreciate it. If you have not subscribe to their podcast, please check them out. Pastor and a Philosopher Walk Into a Bar. I mean, I don't know a better title for a podcast. And, you know, it's great because as you listen to them, they are completely honest. Like, hey, we might say things that offend you. Just give us a chance, which is basically the same thing we do at the bourbon side, which is like Blanton sucks and we're sorry that we upset you, but please just listen to us. But they have, you know, things that's kind of more important to talk about than we do. So please give them a listen. No, they do. Matter of perspective.
I'm wishing I'd sent you some Blantons now.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are, we'll let you guys, where all can they find you? What are all the handles and everything like that?
Yeah, so we're on any podcast app. Just search for our name. We're on your phone already. If you want to find our website, it's pastorandphilosopher.buzzsprout.com. You can email us at pastorandphilosopher@gmail.com.
Sounds good.
PWP pod. Twitter, yes.
Yep, we're on Twitter, too.
Twitter.
Yep, so. And when Kyle finishes that book, we'll have him back. And when Randy does that book or something, we will have them back again because, I mean, this was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you so much.
Thanks for all the generous samples.
Oh, yeah, not a problem. That's what we like to do. So thanks for watching and see you guys next time.
Well, that's it for this episode of A Pastor and a Philosopher Walk Into a Bar. We hope you're enjoying the show as much as we are. Help us continue to create compelling content and reach a wider audience by supporting us at patreon.com/apastorandaphilosopher, where you can get bonus content, extra perks, and a general feeling of being a good person.
Also, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and Spotify. These help new people discover the show, and we may even read your review in a future episode, if it's good enough.
If anything we said really pissed you off, or if you just have a question you'd like us to answer, or if you'd just like to send us booze, send us an email at pastorandphilosopher@gmail.com.
Catch all of our hot takes on Twitter at @PPWBpodcast, at Randy Nye, and at Robert K. Whitaker, and find transcripts and links to all of our episodes at pastorandphilosopher.buzzsprout.com. See you next time.
Cheers.